There was a song written in 1965 by a guy you probably never heard of, Burt Bacharach and Hal David wrote a bunch of songs together. And this song was called What the World Needs Now. And reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 17, I thought to myself, well, this is what the world needs to see now. The words that Hal David wrote was, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. I came here to tell you today, but let me pray first. Father, I just give you the glory, Lord. Thank you for our prayer time today at 9. Thank you for the band in here just worshiping, the singers just singing their praises this morning, starting at 8 o'clock on, Father. It's great to come here early and be here before everybody gets here and just turn the lights on and the sound and get ready to do your work, Father. We want this place to be magnified to you, Father. It's built here for you. We have a building here, Father. It's dedicated to you, Father. And I pray that as we look into these verses today, Lord, that they'll change our life, because really it's what the world needs to see now, Father. We see all the things happening in the world, and we want to make a difference for you, Father. You're calling us to be ambassadors for you. You're calling us to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect, Father. And I just give you the glory, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. The world is really not our home. I guess that's what I came here to tell you today. We're just passing through. We're just sojourners and exiles, it says in 1 Peter 2:11. We're resident aliens, and I even thought we really have a spiritual green card. As being citizens of heaven one day, Peter reminded us, and I put this in your listening guide, Peter reminded us that we have an obligation and a responsibility to live differently and distinctly in this world that we live in. In fact, our lifestyle should be so distinct that when unbelievers see our good deeds, they'll glorify God. And we'll see that in verse 12. As citizens of heaven, our behavior needs to be set apart from the rest of humanity. Today, I'd like to share with you really four things that I found in these verses that really distinguish us while we're passing through this earthly life. One, Christians that abstain from sinful desires. Abstain, a great word. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I urge you," Peter wrote, "I urge you as sojourners, as exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." How many people know we're in a battle every day? It's our flesh fighting that spirit. When we receive Christ and we give our heart to Him, we repent of our sins and we ask Him to come into our life, we're saved, we're born again, but our flesh does not get saved. Therefore, for the rest of our life, we are the spirit living inside of us, fighting the flesh. And Peter says, I urge you, you're just going to be here for a while. This is not your home to abstain from. Sinful desires, I put in your listening guide, refers to the temptations that arise because we're living in the flesh, and the reality of sin remains with us until we die. It's so true. If you want to write these verses down, check them out later. Galatians 5, 16 through 24, read them. Romans 8, 1 through 11, read them. It talks about the battle that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. And I see teenagers in here today. I'm telling you, for the rest of your life, you're going to be battling the flesh. Your flesh is going to want to do what you don't want it to do. And the spirit's going to help you stay in tune with the things of God. But in response to those sinful desires, Peter's telling us that we're to abstain from them, meaning that we're not to get involved with, or that we need to keep away from sin. In tempting situations, we're supposed to flee. We're supposed to run. We're supposed to get away. That means avoiding situations where we quickly fall into temptation. The Bible gives us these promises in 1 Corinthians 10, 13 through 14. Somebody brought it up in our core class today. It's unbelievable. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, the temptations that you're going to face in your life have been going on for centuries. Been going on since the beginning of time. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation. This is what God promises us, that He will also provide a way of escape so that you can abstain from it, that you may be able to endure, therefore, my beloved, free from idolatry. So the Lord won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will provide a way out, but you're going to have to be able to walk in the Spirit. You're going to have to be able to know the difference between, because you're going to have to choose that way of escape. It means turning off the TV or walking out of the theater if you know that what you're watching is not pleasing to God. Years ago when I was a youth pastor and Kathy came to every event with us, we had these triplets that came to our youth group. Triplets, man. They were there from sixth grade through eighth grade. And when they were in eighth grade, we really got close to them and their mom because she was one of the sponsors for the youth ministry. Well, we all decided to go to a movie together. We went down to Sterling, went to this movie. I can't remember the name of it because I'm older now, but I remember sitting in the theater, and within the first 5 minutes, it showed a girl, a teenage girl, who had slept with a guy. And I looked at Kathy, and she looked at me and goes, "We can't stay here, man. We can't stay here." We looked at the triplets who were in eighth grade. The movie was rated PG-13. You know, they were 14. Oh, we weren't breaking the law. But I looked at Kathy and we thought, we're leaving because what's our testimony going to be to these? It was two girls and a boy. I'll never forget them. I love those triplets, man. But we walked out of that theater telling them, this is not good for you to see. As Christians, we don't live our lives that way. As Christians, we're going to abstain from having sexual stuff happen until we get married. So it means turning off the TV. It means walking out of the theater. I remember at our old church, somebody came up with this thing to put on your TV, a little card that said, "Would Jesus watch a show with you?" So we kept it on top of our TV. I'm going to be honest with you, man, we turned a lot of shows off because it really wasn't pleasing in His sight. It might mean locking your refrigerator if that's what tempts you. Because for me, when the TV goes on, the refrigerator automatically opens up. It's like a thing, you know. That's why Kathy buys Skinny Girl popcorn for me. You know what I mean? She's always looking out for me. It might mean avoiding certain groups of people that lead us into destructive behavior. Am I talking to any teenagers here today? Am I talking of when you go back to school, destructive behavior that a group of people might do? Hey, let's go behind whatever they go behind now, but praise God. But in verse 15 of 1 Peter 2, it talks about the will of God. And people often ask, and I'm sure Caleb will get this question asked to him. I have been asked this question many times. What's God's will for my life? You know, I'm living this life. I've accepted Him into my life. Accepted Jesus in my life, and I have this life to live, and I don't know what God's will for my life. How can I know God's will? In this verse Peter 2:15 tells us, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." That's the will of God, by doing good. It's so important. So you have to keep your way from certain groups, and there's going to be things that's going to mess with you, visual stuff. Guys, man, we're visual. We have to stay away from that pornography. The other day, I was listening to the sports channel, and the announcers on there were kidding around about doing pornography. I'm thinking, Nick, don't listen to this trash. It's supposed to be a sports channel, and they're making fun. Yeah, he watched pornography. I mean, stay away from that stuff. Abstain from that stuff. That's going to be one of the biggest battles that men will face in their life, is pornography. And I would be a fool if I told you it's not. You have to flee from it. You have to stay away from it. God's will for our lives is that we'd abstain from sinful desires so that our lives match what we say and believe. It's so important. It's God's will that we are an advertisement for Jesus Christ. When you're at home, when you're at work, when you're in a neighborhood, when you're at school, we're an advertisement for Christ. So the first area for us as Christians, for the world to see the way we are, is we're supposed to abstain from sinful desires. Two, Christians that conduct themselves honorably. Unbelievers who they're living all around us. And Peter wrote this in verse 12 and 17 of this passage. Keep your conduct among Gentiles honorable. Honorable. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Then in verse 17 he says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And I tried to look for a newer version of this, and I looked in the message and I saw verse 16 and 17. I think it's on the PowerPoint. So I exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. What would happen if we did that? Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Wait a second there. You're telling me to respect the government? But when you look at verse 12 in that 1 Peter 2 in the ESV, you see the word see in there. And that means not just a passing glance, but a concentrated effort. People are making mental notes of us. People are watching us to see whether we like it or not, especially when we claim to be a believer. When you're out there telling people you're a Christian, they're going to watch every move you make. They're going to watch everything you say. They're going to watch what you participate in, how you dress, how you talk, what movies you talk about, what shows you go see. So Peter's telling us that people are watching every move to see what kind of difference our faith makes in our lives. A couple questions I have for you today. What if everyone waited to see what effect our religion had on us before they decided to accept it? Think about it. And I really don't like the word religion. I'd rather use the word Christianity or relationship with God. But how many people would believe our religion based on observing the difference it has made in our lives? So as Christians, if you ask what the world needs to see now in this generation, one, to abstain from sinful desires, two, to conduct ourselves honorably, and number three, Christians that submit to those in authority. I'm going to tell you something. This is the biggest problem in America right now, without a doubt. It's the submitting to those who are in authority. In verse 13 and 14 of 1 Peter, it says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or as the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. So Peter's instructing us to respect the government and the ones who enforce the laws of the government. In fact, these two verses cover any authority figures in our life. So if I ask you to write down who are the authority figures in your life, you think about it. The police. Well, first I would say your parents. Did I hear any amen from parents? Your parents has to be number one. Then you have the police, you have teachers, you have coaches, you have the firemen, and you have these people called immigration custom enforcement. We're supposed to respect them. We're supposed to honor them. They've been put together. They've been trained to protect us. It's sad seeing so many people being killed and stuff. It's just horrible. But it's because of the lack of submitting to those in authority. The word subject, or some versions use submit, is really a military term when I looked it up. It means to get in line. He says that we're supposed to yield to authority. We're supposed to get in line. So the doctrine of submission may be the hardest of all biblical teachings to follow. Seriously. We don't like the idea of someone else telling us what to do. We don't much care for rules and regulations. We're not like that little boy who disobeyed his mother, and as a punishment, she told him to sit in the chair in the corner. And then after a while, the mother looks at him and says, have you learned your lesson yet? And with a look of defiance, that little boy replies, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm going to tell you something, I'm standing on the inside. We laugh because we've all been there. Sitting on the outside, but fiercely standing on the inside. But submitting to, and I'm going to say this, and I hope you agree with me, submitting to authority is a mark of a believer. Seriously. If you call yourself a Christian, you're sitting here as a teenager, if you're going into school and you're not being respecting your teachers, You're not respecting the people there who are over you. It's unbelievable. It's a mark of a believer. It's a true mark. Submitting like coming to a yield sign when driving a car means letting the other guy have his way first. It's submitting. Man, I thought about that old hymn, "Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. Make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still." It's so important. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Search me and try me. Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As thy presence humbly I bow. It's so true. Submission is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of self-control. It's the flesh fighting the spirit constantly. It's saying, I don't have to have my way all the time. By the way, I really think insecure people have to have their way all the time. The opposite of submission is rebellion. The most unchristian action is rebellion. I thought about this. It really what caused Lucifer to be expelled from heaven. We're most like the devil when we are rebelling, and we're most like Jesus when you're yielding. Another question for you this morning. Why do we submit to authority? Why does the Bible want us to do that? And the answer is in verse 13. For the Lord's sake. That's why we yield to the authority. For the Lord's sake. It is so true. It means that there's a direct connection between the people in authority over us and God, who is the ultimate authority. I think that's something we need to read together. Let's read it together. There is a direct connection between the people in authority over us and God, who is the ultimate authority. Submission to an authority is a respect out of our submission to Christ. Once we see that the Lord is intimately involved in every detail of our life, then we'll understand that obedience to authority is obedience to the Lord. For the past 5 or 6 days, Kathy and I have been looking after this lady. We have good friends that we've been friends with since the early 80s. We got saved in the same church, but they live in Percival, but they go to the community church. But his mom lives with them. She's 90 years old. Well, they went on vacation and told Kathy and I to look after her. So Kathy and I have been going every day. She's with her right now. She's 90 years old, and I'm telling you, she's amazing. Her thought process, I don't see any sign of dementia or Alzheimer's. She's pretty sharp. So we're sitting there, and we all had dinner together, and she looked at me and goes, well, what do you think of the president? I said, well, I love the president. It went downhill from there. It went down from here. She just started spurting out all this stuff at me, and I'm saying, we all call her Namaw. I said, Namaw, I said, it really depends on what voices you're listening to. This is what you're going to believe. And how important is that? To what we listen to. It's so important. But once we see that the Lord is ultimately involved in every detail of our life, every detail, then we'll understand that obedience to authority is obedience to the Lord. And we'll be able to give that obedience for the Lord's sake, because we know that He is with us and watching over us. Even when we think the command we're obeying is foolish and short-sighted, the last area I wanted to talk about today is Christians don't use your freedom to cover up sin. Verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. What a verse to live by. Peter warned us not to use our freedom as a cover up for sin. Some Christians get so carried away with the notion of liberty that they think the human laws really don't bind them. And such a view really leads directly to spiritual anarchy. Anarchy means disorder, chaos, lawlessness, revolution, mayhem, rebellion. Do you see that going on in America today? It's so true. Tony Evans wrote this about freedom, one of my favorite pastors. He said, the wonderful thing about living in America is that we have options. In many countries around the world, actions are limited, and we should know that. The government controls everything, and the ability to choose is lost. Look at Venezuela. They're trying to control every portion of their life. They're starving. They're starving there. But Tony writes, the wonder of the American experience and experiment is the opportunity, at least on paper and in principle, for a person to freely pursue life, liberty, and what makes them happy. He said, but there are also restrictions to democracy. There are limitations. We do not enjoy freedom without boundaries. We can't just drive through a red light, right, Maddie? We just can't shoot through a stop sign, right, Maddie? Why are there limits? Because very simply, in order to enjoy freedom, there must be sufficient restrictions so that freedom is maximized. Think about it. Are we free? Yes. We're free from the guilt of sin and the demands of the Old Testament legal system, but we're not free to do our own thing, as if no one else mattered or if we're the center of the universe. We are free to submit to God and to serve Him by helping others. Martin Luther said it this way, a Christian is perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is perfectly dutiful, servant of all, subject to all. So true. So we are both free and bound at the same time. That was my subtitle. As Christians, we're free, but at the same time, we're bound to this. We're bound to His rules and regulations, and they're there for us. In practical terms, this means we pay taxes even though we don't approve of certain government programs. We vote, but we don't lose our spiritual equilibrium if our candidate doesn't win. I'd like to read that one again. We vote, but we don't lose our spiritual equilibrium if our candidate doesn't win. We obey the speed limits because it's the right thing to do. We obey those over us, not because we like them, we might not, but because they're under God's sovereignty and are in positions over us. One of my definitions of a saint would be a person who makes it easy to believe in Jesus. That's a saint. Last question for us today. How many of us would pass the test by the way we respond to tempting situations? By our everyday conduct? By submitting to authority, or by not using our freedom to cover up sin? I'd like to close with this analogy. I love this analogy. In the movies, every time you go to the movies, there's previews. Now it seems like it's a half hour. The Kathy Gee's looking at me, what time is it? There's so many previews of coming attractions. And this is where really the hot clips or of upcoming movies are shown. The cut of the movies are always the most exciting scenes that they show you in the previews. The fight scenes, the love scenes, the chase scenes. They all show them, and the movie makers show the best clips because they want you to tune into the whole show. Now, the movie itself might be terrible. But you'll never know by the clips. You'll never know by the previews. And I thought about this. One day there's going to be a big show coming to our town. God is a producer. The Holy Spirit is a director. And Jesus is a superstar. That's what we long to be about. It'll be a worldwide production. And in the meantime, God has left you and me here as the previews of upcoming attractions. Think about it. The previews of upcoming attractions. As disciples of Christ, we're supposed to be the hot clips of the upcoming show so that when people see our clips, see our actions, see our speech, see the way we handle turmoil and trouble, they'll conclude, this show must be great. This show called Christianity must be fantastic. And from watching our previews, people should raise the question, where can I buy the ticket to that show? It is then that we can tell them, you don't have to buy a ticket. The price has already been paid. Ushers, if you want to come forward. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart one believes and is justified, and with your mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. So He's calling us to be an advertisement for Him. And we have to be seen as we truly are, as children of God. Thank you, Father, so much for your word today, Lord. Thank you for this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, Lord. It just ministered to me so much this week. And it shows us how important how we live our lives, how we respect authority shows how much we love you, Father, because authorities are put in place by you, Father. Whether we like them or not, we're still supposed to respect them. We're still supposed to pray for them. And yeah, we're supposed to, since we live in this freedom called America, we're supposed to go and vote. And we're not here to talk about Democrat and Republic today. I'm talking about believers and Christians today. That when we go and vote, and we should vote in every election, but we're supposed to vote for those people who represent you, Lord. Because that's who we are acknowledged to. Love you, Father, and be an ambassador for you, Father. So when those elections come up, let us look for those people. Not who they go by, but what they stand for. That they stand for your word, Lord. That they stand for pro-life. That they stand for the Constitution, which allows us to be free, Father. And I just give you the glory and ask you to bless our offering today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much. Praise God.